Hello and welcome back to the Life at Disney podcast, where we pull back the curtain and give you a peek into all things working at the Walt Disney Company. I'm your host, LaJoy. Have you ever wondered how the Walt Disney Company creates the tech behind the magic? On today's episode of Life at Disney, you'll meet some of the people working behind the screens to make things happen. We're excited to welcome our first guest to the podcast, Amy, who is a Disney photo imaging product design specialist with Disney Experiences Technology and Digital, who's been with the company for 10 years. Glad to have you on the show today, Amy.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and to talk to you and all of your listeners.
If you wouldn't mind sharing with our audience today about your Disney career, specifically how you got started and your current role.
Yeah, my Disney career has been an unexpected journey. I did not, you know, grow up with my childhood dream being working at Disney, but I have lived in Florida my whole life. So I went to college at the University of Central Florida. And so, of course, half my friends worked in the parks and they seemed to really enjoy it. But, you know, I was very serious. I was studying journalism, focusing on visual communications. So, you know, I was going to be a really serious photojournalist and newspaper designer. And then through my education, I realized that's not what I wanted to do, but I really loved taking photos, writing, editing, designing. So I was hoping that I was getting all the tools that I needed to bring that into a career that was not journalism. So graduating and not really knowing what I wanted to do, I resisted applying for a job at Disney because I just didn't see it as, you know, something that could end up being a serious career. But eventually, you know, I needed money for goods and services. So I applied for a job that I had never heard of before, which is a special event guide. And that was the start of my Disney journey, which is actually just a little over 10 years ago now. So that was where I started and saw a lot of different special events going on that I'd never been to, you know, Flower and Garden Festival and the Candlelight Processional. And from there, decided that I would try to find something within the company still where I could use my skills. Because once you get in to Disney and you see what it's like and everyone around you is just so excited to be there and you're interacting with guests who are just having the best time, it's hard to picture working anywhere else. So I was really lucky after that to find PhotoPass, and I went directly from events to working with Disney Photo Imaging as a PhotoPass photographer at Epcot mostly, but also at ESPN Wide World of Sports shooting sports photography, which was more in line with what I'd been wanting to do with journalism. So I was feeling like I was still, you know, ticking that box of like, I'm building up these skills that I'd learned in college. That was what I did for most of my Disney career and took a lot of twists and turns. I've done a lot of different things in 10 years. I've been a operations training facilitator. I've been a production assistant with broadcast. And I've, like I said, done PhotoPass in just about every location you can. And then, you know, after COVID, post-pandemic, coming back to my role after 6 months of being away, I was really hoping to find the next thing. So that's when I saw that there was an opening coming up with the product design team for PhotoPass, which I had never heard of, never even thought about. Like, who's designing all this stuff that I'm using every single day? But now I know because I got that job. Now I do it. And so this role is supporting PhotoPass at Disney World, Disneyland, and Disney Cruise Line, making anything that our photographers are, you know, giving to our guests in the park, anything from props and the magic shots that we put into the photos, but also a lot of digital experiences also that's growing and growing. So we have our Disney PhotoPass AR lenses that are now part of Genie Plus. We have different machine learning that we're delving into and that I'm learning a lot about, and different like remote camera operation and just different styles of photography, different things we can do, whatever, you know, we can imagine that we're able to bring to the park is what we're working on. So it's been a lot of fun.
I love that. So fascinating. So you mentioned that photojournalism was something that you were always interested in. Just curious where that passion came from, because of course, I feel like that's something that you're really still getting to utilize in your current role today.
It is. I've loved photography since probably about middle school when I've got my first point and shoot camera. And I was lucky enough to have people in my life who also enjoyed it. So it kind of started out as, you know, going to places around, you know, our hometown in South Florida with my sister, or with our other friends, taking pictures of things. And I really enjoyed candid photography and, you know, didn't ever have much experience with setting up a special shot with lighting and everything. I was really, really enjoying capturing things as they happened. So I brought that through college and would always be hauling around my big DSLR just to our hangouts with friends, just wherever we would go, I'd bring that with me and just be taking pictures of whatever we were up to. So it's a lot of fun to look back. Now I can remember all those really silly times that wouldn't necessarily stick in your brain because it's just random stuff we were doing. But that is something that I love about photography. You know, if I can have a really poor memory, but at least I can look back and those pictures help me remember all those times. And, you know, as a photo pass photographer in the parks for so long, that was something I thought about a lot, is these people are coming to these parks usually to celebrate something really special. And not only am I helping just to capture that moment and to help make it more candid and more fun and encouraging them to smile, getting everybody in the picture, but also they're going to be able to look at that later and remember that moment that maybe wouldn't have stuck in their mind if they hadn't stopped for that picture.
So in your role as a Disney photo imaging product design specialist, can you tell us specifically about some of your primary responsibilities?
I can. And if, you know, people are listening, I do like to point out that what we consider product design is a little bit different than what you might see at other tech companies, because we are doing a lot of digital stuff, yes, but it is actual, you know, we're designing, we're using Illustrator and Photoshop to design products that are sometimes only digital, but oftentimes we are working on physical products also. So day to day in the role, we are doing so much communication. There's a lot of people to talk to. So we are connecting our, you know, our own team and the creative and the studios and marketing with the parks. So we're bridging, you know, what studios and marketing and special events and our leaders and VPs and executives want to be seeing out in the park, and communicating that out to our parks partners who are going to be the ones actually out there taking the photos. So it's really interesting to be working in between, because sometimes, you know, we're wanting to do something and it's just not feasible to do in the theme park every single day, 1,000 times a day in 100 degree weather. And then it's raining and it's still 100 degrees. But and then sometimes, you know, the parks really do want to do something, but that's just not part of our roadmap or part of something that our executives are wanting to focus on in the parks as a whole. So it's a really interesting balance. But I do enjoy still being so connected to our on the ground cast members, and they send us their ideas and I love it. And oftentimes we're able to bring those ideas to life. And, you know, I just hope they know how much we appreciate the work that they do and all their creativity. But other than that, you know, it's a lot of, you know, working directly with our studio partners or partners like Disney Cruise Line saying, hey, Marvel Day at Sea is coming up. We got to have photo backdrops. We got to have magic shots. Can we have some props? So we are working through all of that, seeing what designs are feasible, especially with props. Anything that the guests are going to be holding is especially difficult, but a lot of fun. And then, you know, seeing, hey, what characters are being focused on for this event? Hey, who can we bring to life that the guests have never seen before? And how can we do it in a way that's totally unique? So there's a lot of thought process that goes into it.
Awesome. It sounds so collaborative and like so much synergy. You mentioned that you all take feedback from your photographers, and that you also, when you're a photographer, were able to give feedback. Can you think of an example of something that you were able to see that was brought to life by maybe a suggestion that you made or one of our PhotoPass photographers made?
Yeah, I'll bring this up. This is such a simple thing. This was not, you know, life-changing technology or anything, or even that difficult to make happen. But At one point, a photographer who I used to work with a lot, who now works at Magic Kingdom, pointed out to us that we didn't have any Sleeping Beauty magic shots at all. There's no representation of Sleeping Beauty for PhotoPass, which is crazy. She sent that request and we were extremely busy, so we weren't able to address it right at that moment. But for Disney 100 last year, the parks, especially Disneyland, were having focuses on specific franchises throughout the year. So there was Princess Month. And I was like, please, can we make something for Sleeping Beauty happen for Princess Month to make that photographer happy? But also, you know, Disneyland has Sleeping Beauty Castle, so it's perfect. So we created a Three Fairies magic shot with Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether. Brought that to Disneyland first because they were doing the celebration, but we brought it over to Magic Kingdom also. And I made sure, I was like, somebody tell Jocelyn, it was her idea. We're bringing it to life.
I love it. One step at a time. But it really, you know, it just goes to show how much I think the company we do value our employees and our cast members and their recommendation. What would you say is your favorite aspect of your role?
I love designing. I love getting to use, you know, Photoshop and Illustrator on a daily basis. And some things are, again, really simple, like our Sleeping Beauty magic shot. We're kind of taking existing art and making it into our format. But, you know, sometimes we get to create something from the ground up. And I just love doing that. And I love showing off my skills and sharing everything I'm working on with our team. We do weekly huddle meetings where we share what we're working on, get feedback from the team. And then, you know, that goes before our reviews with our leadership to get things actually approved. And I really enjoy sharing what I've been working on and, you know, getting people's input, especially if they're wowed by what I'm doing. That always feels good, especially because I work with such amazing creative people and I love to see what they're working on and doing also, because it's inspirational to me and it makes me want to be better at what I'm doing and to learn how they're doing what they're doing. You know, my team, we're small but mighty. We do a lot and often we have to do things kind of on our own that you wouldn't expect. So, you know, lately we've been trying to learn more about 3D modeling and, but also at the same time, you know, illustration and drawing out our own storyboards rather than, you know, just relying on Photoshop to mock everything up. So we are always encouraging each other to learn and grow more because it's going to help us in the long run. Even though we might not use that 3D model in the end, it helped kind of visualize. So it's been such an enjoyable process and I've learned a lot.
Awesome. And so speaking of, you mentioned 3D modeling and some other technologies that the team uses. So how would you say that your team is able to continue to innovate and change the scope of tech at Disney?
PhotoPass is so unique in that we have so many different branches of what we're doing, all supporting this one line of business. So, you know, I'm working on the product design team, but we also have our product team who really focuses on, you know, the app and all that technology. And we work directly with them to figure out, okay, how can we take this technology and implement it into what we're doing in a way that, you know, is along the lines of the story. So when we started doing AR for Genie Plus, this was not something anyone on my team had ever done before. I had just gotten hired and I thought I had just gotten hired because PhotoPass had taken over Disney Cruise Line photography. So I thought that's what I was going to be doing mostly. That was not the case. I was designing AR lenses and learning how Snapchat works. So, you know, we had this technology. We had tons of examples of AR that other companies have been creating, but we had to find a way to do AR the Disney way. And create stories. And okay, you're using this in the park, so it has to be Imagineering level. You know, this has to fit in with what else is going on all around our guests. So that's one example. And then we're also using machine learning, which is, again, also new to me, but I'll be an expert very soon, hopefully. But that's been so interesting because there's so many things you can do with machine learning. And we kind of have to ask what we should be doing and what makes the most sense within our parks and within our use case, you know, because we have guests visiting from all over the world. And sometimes things in both AR and machine learning don't work as well for people who have different skin tones. They don't work as well for people who have a beard. It removes their beard, or it makes your hair different. And hair is very important to people. So it's taking this technology that exists, that was built, and we're building on it, but building on it in a Disney way that is innovative, inclusive, and story-driven.
Awesome. So what would you say have been maybe a favorite project that you've worked on in the past? And then also, what would you say has maybe been a more challenging project that you've worked on as well? Something that's maybe a unique challenge to Disney.
I, in 2016, was part of the sports photography team. And 2016 is when PhotoPass took over the Run Disney photography from a third party. So, you know, Disney World is lucky. They have a built-in sports photography group that's working at Wide World of Sports. So we got to take that over. So I got to open Run Disney photography at Disney World and Disneyland. I was an hourly cast member. I was a coordinator and trainer at the time. And I got to be flown out to California for, you know, going to Disneyland for the first time, getting paid, which is the best way to do it. But we were training the photographers at Disneyland how to do sports photography because they don't have that there. They don't have a sports complex. So we trained them how to do the Run Disney action photos, and we helped run the expo and communicate to all the Run Disney guests, hey, this is happening now. And the Run Disney guests love Run Disney Photo Pass. I love that they love it, because it was amazing to see after each of the races, you go to Instagram and go to hashtag Run Disney, and it's all the runners sharing PhotoPass photos. And it's so different from the parks, because in the parks, you know, people are able to get their own photos, like you said, on your smartphone. It's much easier, but you're running a race. You can't get your own photos while you're running a race. So it's such a great example of the work that we do, and we're able to capture those. Sometimes beautiful, sometimes not, but that's, hey, you're running a marathon. It's not required. You know, it's okay to be sweaty. So I loved that we got to start doing that. And I love that I got to capture it and be part of, you know, this opening team, because I don't work in attractions. I don't, you know, work in, you know, different parts of the park often. So I don't get to be on opening teams very often. So that was a lot of fun. And they just restarted Disneyland Run Disney races again, so some of my friends got to go out and do that again, the thing that I got to do years ago. So heartwarming to see that they got to get that going again. Very challenging project I worked on was my first machine learning project. If you have seen at Magic Kingdom, there is a special, we call it a magic shot, but it adds a watercolor effect to the guest photos. And it also removes the guests from the background of the guest photos. And that was my project, my first machine learning project. And it was a huge challenge, because we had to look at, first of all, like, what does watercolor look like? What should this effect do on the guest's photos that it will look like what we're actually going for? Because, you know, the big thing about that machine learning effect that we did was the removal of the guests from the background. That's something that people have been asking for probably since the dawn of PhotoPass. You know, are you going to remove all these people back there? No, you're on Main Street. There's going to be a million people behind you. But, you know, now with machine learning, maybe there don't have to be a million people behind you. So we've been using the watercolor effect to kind of cover up the weirdness of how machine learning does things. And so it was getting the artistic intent of watercolor correct, but also getting the actual crowd removal correct and making sure that the guests who are the subject of the photo, you know, we want them to look like watercolor, but also, as I mentioned before, you know, we have to make sure that this is going to look good on our guests who are visiting us. They're going to appear different, but they're also going to have strollers. They might be in wheelchairs. They might be sitting in our scooters that we use in the park. So we need to make sure that it's not going to, as it does sometimes, remove kids from strollers and make them disappear with the crowd in the background. We don't want that. We need to make sure people appear as they do in real life. We want to make sure it's not making, you know, whatever they have on their t-shirts look too muddled with the watercolor effect, because sometimes, you know, people are celebrating family reunions. They're here celebrating Pride Month. They're here celebrating Black History Month. And we want to make sure, you know, they're able to see that they're celebrating that if they have something representing that that they're wearing. So it was just a long process and a lot of involvement of leadership from many different locations, not just my leaders, but also, you know, PhotoPass leadership, in-park leadership, because everyone just wants this to be a great representation of what PhotoPass can do and how we can use the technology. And, you know, we released it. I think we ended up releasing it publicly as, you know, a beta. We don't consider it a completely finished product, which we don't normally do. Usually when something goes to guests in the park, it is done. but this, it was something I think we're still learning about and still growing, and it's something we're going to revisit and spruce up. But I think for now, it's just a neat thing for guests to see. Hey, you said you didn't want guests in the background of your photos. Let's see how we can do this. Hey, we're working on it. we've heard you, and we're going to make it happen. So it's just been really interesting. And I'm, you know, wanting to do more of the machine learning projects just to see what all it can do, because that's just one aspect. There's so many different ways we can use it. And just like with AR, I'm still learning about it. So it just seems like the potential is through the roof.
Absolutely. And I think that that's such a uniquely Disney challenge because of how iconic that photo in front of Cinderella's castle is. Now, earlier, you mentioned our Disney 100 celebration. So I am curious, what are you looking forward to in the coming years for the Walt Disney Company, as well as just our overall technology progression?
I mean, there's always new things coming to the parks, and just more is always announced. So it keeps you excited. It keeps the energy up. But, you know, we've got new cruise ships coming, and we just know there's going to be involvement with PhotoPass, whether it's attraction photos. And with Cruise Line, you know, we kind of started just by taking over what was there before. But we're already thinking, okay, what's next? How can we bring some of what we're doing with our in-park PhotoPass and the technology we're using there? How can we bring that to a ship that's in the middle of the ocean and sailing around the world? So I think there's a lot of great things on the horizon, you know, for PhotoPass in the parks, you know, in the parks in general. But as far as technology goes, you know, everyone has been talking about AI and machine learning and AR and VR. And I think all of those things can be an incredible asset to the parks. And I am excited to see that. I'm excited to see how Disney does it the Disney way. I am looking forward to seeing how we do it responsibly, with great innovation and inclusively.
Absolutely. I'm also very excited about seeing what we do in the future. You have been with Disney for 10 years, right? So what would you say is probably the biggest lesson that you've learned while working for the company?
You know, no one can define what success means for you. Don't think about, you know, what's the five-year plan? What path should you be on? What path are you on now? And where could that potentially take you? You know, don't think about what you should, what you could, what you missed out on, because that stuff doesn't matter. You know, I've applied for a lot more Disney jobs than I have gotten. I have been rejected from many roles that I thought I was a great fit for. But looking back, I'm glad I didn't get those things, because I wouldn't be where I am now. And maybe those places wouldn't have given me the joy that I feel what I'm doing now, or the amazing team that I'm with. So, you know, something might not seem like the straight path forward. It might not seem like the right path, but even if the path is twisty, you know, it's going to take you somewhere.
Absolutely. And I think that is pretty consistent overall with a lot of our employees and cast members. What would you say to someone who is looking to build that career like yours? You know, maybe they might be working in front line, or maybe they just might be in a more entry level position. What kind of advice would you give to them to keep moving forward and stay encouraged in the process?
I think most important is that the things you are learning now are going to be used when you get to where you want to go. I spent, I think, 8 years. Yes, 8 years working in park operations. And the knowledge I gained there has been critical to what I do now, you know, partly because I am in constant communication with the parks. I still work directly with them. Everything I'm doing now is for the parks and for the guests in the parks. And if I hadn't spent that time getting to know how the operation works, what our guests like and dislike, how they actually behave and not just how we think they behave. I use those things every day. And also, you know, when you think about creative roles at Disney, like I'm in, you know, you don't, I didn't know that there was a product design team for PhotoPass. When you think creative role at Disney, you think Walt Disney Imagineering, which it's still a dream job, but there are so many creative teams at Disney. This is a huge, huge company with thousands and thousands of jobs you can be doing. And there's product design for PhotoPass. There's also, you know, digital design and digital content. There's Yellow Shoes for marketing. And we have our own marketing team who does amazing creative work, even though they don't consider themselves creatives, but they are. So again, there's not just one straightforward path to where you think you want to go. There's a whole, you know, great, big, beautiful world in not just Disney World, but, you know, we are lucky to work in a company that's not, it's not just theme parks. We also have movie studios and news stations, and there's so many different ways to have a successful Disney career.
Absolutely. And I do have one final question for you. This is actually going to be fill in the blank, because as you know, Disney, our product is magic, right? So my question for you is, I make magic by
bringing my very best every day. That's how I got to where I am. You know, I was bringing my best even when I was working out in the park, and I'm bringing my best today because, you know, I know my team depends on me and the parks are depending on me, and by extension, the guests. So I'm doing my best because I want people to interact with the things I'm creating in a way that brings them joy.
I love it. I love every word. Thank you so much for taking out a few moments to talk with me about your career, your role, how you make magic, and what's next for you and your team. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure chatting with you today, Amy.
Thank you so much. This has been a fun opportunity, and I'm glad I can add podcast guest to my long list of things I've done at Disney.
You just heard from Amy, DPI Product Design Specialist. Who knew that there are so many unique pathways into the tech industry? Speaking of different pathways in tech, let's welcome our next guest. Meet Grace. She's celebrating her second year as a manager of product management for Disney Entertainment and ESPN Technology. She leads her team in some exciting projects that we'll cover today. Welcome to the podcast, Grace.
Thank you so much for having me, LaJoy.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's jump right into the conversation. Would love to hear just a little bit about your Disney career and how you got your start with the company.
Awesome. Thank you. So my name is Grace. I am, like you said, LaJoy, a member of the programmatic product team here at Disney. Programmatic is one of the branches of our platform, addressable advertising. And what we do is we provide automated ways for buyers to access our inventory in the marketplace. First and foremost, I joined Disney about 2 years ago. Prior to Disney, I worked at another advertising or ad tech company, and it was specifically tied to the digital out-of-home advertising space. So pretty similar in terms of technology, in terms of platforms and implementations, the only difference being the type of audience that we were tapping into. In my previous role, it was an out-of-home audience, meaning you're trying to reach impressions that are outside the home. For instance, people at airports or folks in big cities or in gyms. Whereas at Disney, our focus is entirely right now on mobile audiences, CTV audiences, and audiences on web devices. So that's my Disney career so far, you know, working on the programmatic team and building out technologies that we're super excited about because, you know, they reach a massive scale of impressions.
Love it. So, you know, working on our Disney streaming team and working in the particular area that you work in, can you just tell us a little bit more about your role as a manager for product management and what some of your main responsibilities are?
That's a great question and a question that's near and dear to my heart because I did not realize how much I would enjoy the management piece or the management trajectory that my career took. And part of the reason why I'm excited to talk about this is because not only is the opportunity a very unique one and a special one to take reins on, but it's also an opportunity to build the next generation of leaders at Disney that are interested in growing our ad tech business. So in terms of what my day-to-day entails as a manager of the programmatic team, part of it is the management piece, goes without saying, managing a team of three incredible product leads that are each tasked with the responsibilities of building out our supply side of the business, the demand side of the business, as well as our front-end and back-end facing tools. And similar to what they're doing, I'm also still hands on keyboard, believe it or not, part of it because I do enjoy solutioning and I enjoy building products, but also part of it being that we've scaled pretty significantly the last few months. And so, you know, everyone's hands on deck and it's exciting. It's a fast paced environment and I really enjoy working on the types of products and solutions that we're building out. So outside of management, I'm also responsible for building out the strategy and vision for our team. When we think about the programmatic business at Disney and the revenue implications that it has and the significance that it holds in the marketplace, it's a pretty unique space in the sense that, you know, we're giving buyers the opportunity to access our inventory in automated ways where they're not necessarily relying on physical humans to, you know, to facilitate the buying and selling process. But, you know, we're running some of these transactions in a very automated or what we call real-time bidding environment. And so in that sense, we are building, my responsibility is optimizing how that execution happens. And so thinking through what are some of the solutions that we can implement that will make it easier for our buyers to tap into Disney's premium inventory. And what does that look like in the small, short-term environment, and what does that look like at scale as we iterate on our features? So my role really just does encompass strategy, execution, and managing a really amazing group of folks within the programmatic team.
Love it. And, you know, I know recently Disney, a huge, huge campaign that they had was bringing Hulu to Disney Plus. So I'd just love to hear what that project was like for your team.
It was a pretty exciting project. And for a lot of people that were hands on deck within the project life cycle, you can hear a lot of sentiments around the type of partnership that, you know, was executed in that whole phase of work. And that body of work was pretty extensive. So it not only touched on bringing Hulu content onto Disney Plus, the application itself, but also bringing advertising to that scale, that piece of inventory. And so from my team's perspective, our obligation was ensuring that, you know, our programmatic guaranteed ads and our biddable ads ran seamlessly once we introduced the Hulu inventory onto Disney Plus. And by programmatic guaranteed, I just mean buys that are that Disney guarantees impressions on and Disney is responsible for fulfilling the impressions on, versus biddable deals where there is no guarantee on the inventory or on the impressions because the buyer has to bid. The higher they bid, the higher their chances of winning. So both of those buy types are now made available through the Hulu content on Disney Plus, in addition to, of course, making those transaction types available on Disney Plus content itself, original Disney Plus content. So big project, big win there, honestly, was the camaraderie and the partnership that really drove this project to scale and to completion successfully. And another big win, of course, is having additional supply onboarded onto Disney Plus to make it easier and more seamless for our buyers to access the variety of audiences that we have on our platform.
I love that. And I was reading actually today that I know Hulu won 22 Emmys this year, and Disney Plus won 11 Emmys. So what an amazing super power synergy to come together for our audience and our guests. So would you say, like, this particular project, since you've been here for a couple years now, would you say this is maybe the most proud project that you've had the opportunity to work on, or are there some others that you want to call out as well?
Oh, wow. You'll be surprised. There are a lot other projects that I'm happy to call out, but we have some other big wins that we can pull out of our pockets if you ask. For anyone who's interested in, you know, joining Disney or understanding how the Disney ad business works, there's some big highlights that we can showcase, part of it being, you know, rolling out yield optimized dynamic allocation, or what we call the Yoda algorithm on Hulu. As a matter of fact, on the Disney Plus side, we rolled it at a smaller scale, an iterative scale, but that's going to happen at a larger scale. Some of these big projects like Yoda, the Yoda algorithm, or even launching ads on Disney Plus to begin with back in 2022 were big wins for our team, just because of the scale and magnitude of what that work entailed and the success that we've seen from both of those projects from a revenue and operational perspective. And then more recently, actually, we just launched our in-house SSP, or our in-house supply side platform, Drax. We've always operated Drax as a header bidding solution that taps into demand externally so that we can monetize our inventory. But now we've gone from using our real-time ad exchange, or the Disney real-time ad exchange, Drax, as a video header bidding solution, to now converting it to an SSP, which is a great deal, because it means we are building in-house technologies to drive our business at a faster velocity than we have before. And so the Drax SSP launched on April 1st. We are pretty fresh from the launch. And not only did we launch a whole supply side platform, we launched with one of the biggest DSPs in the marketplace, Google DV360. And now we're beginning to transact with them directly on the biddable channel. So that's a huge win for Disney. It's a huge win for our team. But it also means there's a lot of work ahead in terms of scaling this business model and bringing it to fruition in terms of what we've always envisioned as being, you know, a solution that introduces unique feature sets or unique offerings in the marketplace, because we have full control of what we're rolling out.
Awesome. Sounds like such exciting work. And as I was, you know, hearing you talk about the different products and the industry, I'm just curious to get your insights in terms of, like, what kind of trends perhaps that you see amongst various generations.
So that's the beauty of addressable advertising. We have user bases that do not mind the ads and want to be educated on new brands or any offerings that are coming into the marketplace on the retail side of the house. And so in cases like that, the beauty of it is that our buyers have access to a wide variety of audiences, whether it's audiences that don't mind ads on Hulu versus audiences that don't mind ads on Disney Plus or ESPN or any of the other inventory that we have on our platform. But when it comes to users that are not interested in ads at all, we have offerings for that too. On Hulu, you can skip ads if you're not interested in watching a full ad play, and that's fine. We also have bundled subscriptions that allow you to opt out of ads or opt out of tracking, which is great because it puts the power on our audiences to define what their viewing experiences look like. And that's exactly what we're aiming for. We're aiming on providing different types of solutions to meet different market needs, but also to meet our consumers' needs, because that viewer first experience is what really drives revenue on our channels.
Very interesting and very complicated, I'm sure. Sure work as you, you know, look at our various audiences and their preferences. And then what would you say is your favorite aspect of your role?
There are many. If I had to stack rank my favorite aspects of my role, honestly, the first and foremost interest I have is, you know, growing our team and making sure that everyone comes to work every day excited to build the products and solutions that we build. So I do enjoy that aspect of my role quite a bit, because it just gives me the opportunity to curate an environment that would not only serve my team well, but exactly what I always envisioned for what an ideal workspace would look like. Going back to stack ranking, my second favorite aspect of my role is building the products and solutions that we are working on. The whole process, you know, from iteration to launch is very exciting to me, and it teaches me a lot. I'm constantly learning at Disney, and it's such a privilege to be part of an organization where things move fast and you're working with really smart people that constantly challenge you and introduce new pieces of information to you, or, you know, people that you can exchange notes with and learn from. So yeah, those two are my favorite aspects of this role.
And what would you say, since you have been with Disney for a couple years now, what would you say makes Disney different from any other technology company?
2 years in, I would say the Disney magic is hard to replicate. There is just an energy that comes with working in a big entertainment brand, with a big entertainment brand that also puts technology first. And people are excited to innovate, whether it's in terms of operational innovation or actual technical innovation. And that's something that can sometimes get away from companies as they scale. But with Disney, I've noticed, you know, that interest to continue to innovate and to continue to build creative solutions just never dies again. It's hard to replicate the Disney magic and the energy that comes with working for a global brand that people are excited to work for. So I would say 2 years in, that's exactly what it is. That's the energy that comes with building some of the solutions that we have in place.
Well, I've been with Disney for 17 years, and I just love that phrase that you used, which is, it is hard to replicate the Disney magic. Absolutely. And another aspect that you brought up that I actually wanted to ask you about is innovation. So how does your team continue to innovate and change the scope of tech at Disney?
For our team, data is the currency when we look at some of the solutions that we are pushing to market and how they perform. It fuels the need to understand whether, you know, this is a solution that's mature and ready for full-on market adoption versus a solution that could continue to be innovated either as part of the existing product or new products that we can roll into the marketplace. So a lot of the innovation that we do is just tied to the metrics that we gain as we roll out new products, or the feedback that we get from clients, whether it's internal clients or external facing clients. And some examples of innovation that we're really driving towards are optimizing how much demand we get back through from the marketplace through the real-time bidding protocol, or RTB protocol that I mentioned earlier. So whereas traditionally a lot of advertising has focused, especially in the CTV space, has focused on sending ad requests to the marketplace and receiving responses back for particular slots or for particular opportunities, we're thinking through ways in which we can expand the volume of bids that we get back from the marketplace so that we can have more options to select from. And in the event that bids need filtering because they do not meet Disney policies for, you know, advertising, or for whatever reason would need to be filtered out to protect the brand, then we still have other options to iterate and select from. And so multi-bid is one area that we've been keying on in terms of just getting additional bids through the pipes and incrementing how much revenue that we make. And other innovations that we're thinking about are in lines of measurement and attribution, providing creative ways for brands to measure the success of their ads that ran through the programmatic channel, and empowering brands to use those insights to either, you know, upscale their buys with Disney, or, you know, think about innovative ways to communicate their messaging to our audiences. And there are a lot of other areas that I can tap into, but I do think a big focus on innovation this year is just expanding that revenue capability and building out insights for our consumers.
What are you looking forward to seeing in the coming years when it comes to Disney and our technology and the way we continue to progress?
Great question. Technology-wise, I'm also excited to see interoperability take the center stage. We are constantly building out solutions with our external clients to enable them to more effectively reach audiences. And some of that interoperability ties into the identity solutions that we're building out. And so seeing those scale in the upcoming years is going to be a big win for not only us as a company, but for our partners on the demand side, as well as for our audience, our consumers or clients.
And what would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned so far while working for Disney?
I would say the biggest lesson I've learned is to never stop learning. I mean, every day we're solutioning for really challenging problems at Disney, and at a scale that's unmatched because, you know, of the global nature of our business. And so when we think about how we continue to develop ourselves, one of the biggest lessons I've learned is to never stop consuming. You know, data deluge can get very overwhelming, but the more I learn, the easier the job becomes and the more exciting the job becomes. So my biggest lesson that, you know, I've learned and that I continue to share with my team is to keep staying curious and to continue learning.
Absolutely. And I think that is also in line with our company's founder, Walt Disney. That was one of his tenets for sure. It's just curiosity and continual growth and learning, and something that I think that we see really all throughout our organization is encouraged. So just to rewind a little bit. So, you know, a little over 2 years ago, you chose to join the Walt Disney Company. And of course, you could work for any company. So what made you choose Disney?
Really, truly came down to the culture. There are a lot of opportunities to work on ad tech in the marketplace, whether it's in a startup or big tech. And there are a lot of opportunities to work on products that are quote unquote sexy or very desirable in the marketplace. And Disney for me represented one of those types of brands because Disney has a massive scale of inventory of different kinds. And like I mentioned earlier, a wide reach in terms of global scale. And so what really interested me in working at Disney was not only the fact that, you know, the products were at par with some of big tech, but also the teams that I met during the interview process were teams that were incredibly driven, teams that really enjoyed the work that they do, and teams that were integrity permeated. I did love having personal conversations with my interviewers and understanding what their career has looked like at Disney, what it means to collaborate within the team, within the ad platform space, and with some of our internal clients on the ad sales side. And it was good news all around. So nothing could have sold me better to work at Disney than the people that I met during the interviewing process.
Glad to hear that the magic brought you to this team. What would you say has surprised you the most about working at Disney?
What surprised me the most, and this is an easy question to answer, is how fast we move at Disney. I mean, for a lot of people that work in big companies, you'll hear about red tape and you'll hear about processes that hold people back from innovation, but you'll never hear about that at Disney, especially not on the ad platform side. We really are a startup operating in a big company because we move at the speed of lightning and everything's fast and everything's exciting. And so that was a surprising find when I started working at Disney, just how fast everything moves.
Yeah, we're innovators, right? So we have to continue to move and move quickly in this marketplace. What advice would you give to someone who's maybe looking to build a career in ad tech or even just in the streaming space?
Yeah, absolutely. I can speak more definitively to the ad tech space. What I would advise anyone looking to join this space is, first of all, to understand the market. What is out there? Who are the key players in the marketplace? What do we mean when we say there is a demand side platform versus a supply side platform versus a shared language that's used between these two platforms? What is the OpenRTB bidding protocol? And where is the market headed? Does that excite you? Because if it excites you, then you're going to enjoy the job that you do, right? So my advice would be to really lean into understanding the marketplace and the impact that ad tech has on advertising, especially as innovation and digitization fuel this marketplace. So thinking through that, the next step would be really building connections with people that work in this industry, whether it's folks that are alumni from your school or folks that you connect with on LinkedIn that post items that are relevant to the ad tech space, and understanding what their day-to-day looks like, because that in itself will give you a really good and tangible understanding of what your potential role could look like working in ad tech. And then beyond that, taking it a step farther and, you know, either finding mentorship from folks that have really built successful careers in the ad tech space, or you know, coffee chat. Sometimes it's that small, you know, meeting someone for coffee chat and understanding what input or what knowledge they can share with you about their career. And that should fuel your understanding or roadmap for what you want to build your career as in the ad tech environment. Because it does look different depending on when people joined the ad tech space versus how their careers have evolved over time as they mature in the industry. For people that joined years ago, the solutions and the privacy rules that existed are probably much different from what that looks like today. So it's always good to have those types of perspectives.
Absolutely. And you brought up a word that I think is so important and so essential. So I would love for you to just talk a little bit more about mentorship and what that has meant to you in your career.
Being without a mentor sometimes can feel like, you know, walking in the dark with no direction whatsoever. And so even though I'm very type A and I'm very driven to build a very clear roadmap for where I want to go, either as an individual or with my team, what mentorship helps with is give you a sense of stability and guidance, because mentors have been there. They've seen it all, or they've seen a good amount of it. So they're able to give you very useful feedback and insights about navigating your career so that you don't make the same mistakes either they made or other people they know made. And so for me, mentorship has meant a lot because it's not only opened up opportunities and sponsorship, it's also built lifelong friendships with some of my nearest and dearest managers that have helped me grow in this space.
And I think that mentorship is also something that we at the Walt Disney Company definitely value, and something that, again, just adds to that rich culture that we have of the people and the magic that we make. Grace, I loved hearing all about your career and your team and all the amazing projects that you're working on. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining us at the Life at Disney podcast and sharing your story today.
Thank you so much for having me again. I really appreciate your time and I enjoy speaking with you. So I hope to see you soon.
If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to learn more about how to make Disney a part of your story, follow us at Disney Careers on all social platforms or visit DisneyCareers.com. Stay tuned for our next episode and see you real soon. This episode was brought to you by Allie Fisher, Jaren Kaufman, Emily Chastine, Holly Dudley, Kayla McCarty, and John Hughes. Editing by Alexis Gonzalez Flores. Music arranged and produced by Nat Young Music Group, Incorporated. Design and graphics by Weilin Zhang. A special thank you to the technology teams.